The following is a Learfield presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network. Commodore Hour is on the air. Over the next hour, we'll discuss the latest around Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield, Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers, built Ford tough. Now, here are your hosts, Andrew Allegretta and Kevin Ingram.
And welcome to another edition of Commodore Hour on a Monday night in the Music City. Hope everybody's having a good Labor Day weekend. We are live from the McGugan Center as we bring you this edition of our Coaches Show. We will be with you each Monday night at 6 o'clock throughout the season. Coming up a little bit later, football coach Clark Lee will join us. He'll be with us for the second half hour. That's coming up at around 6:30. We're also, in just a moment, going to visit with U.S. Open champion and Vanderbilt assistant bowling coach Josie Barnes. And just ahead as well, our visit with men's basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse from our special edition of the Anchor podcast. Sat down with Stack last week, so we'll hear some of our conversation with the head coach. Reminder, another football game coming up this week will be at Colorado State out in Fort Collins. On Saturday, 9 o'clock Central Time kickoff. You're going to have to stay up late. Pregame starts at 7:30 Central Time on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield, so make sure you are here for that as we'll have football for you coming up on Saturday night. We'll take a break, come back with Josie Barnes in just a moment. As we get things rolling, this is Commodore Hour, and this is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. I am
Be Driven.
And welcome back to Commodore Hour. Great to have you with us. Again, hope everybody's having a good Labor Day weekend. Should mention my buddy Andrew Allegretta, not with us tonight, under the weather
Vanderbilt
a little
studio
bit.
Hotline.
So hopefully Andrew will be feeling better and be good to go. We got to have him for Saturday night as the Commodores play at Colorado State in football. A little bit later on in the hour, we're going to have Coach Clark Lee with us. He'll join us for the final half hour and coming up shortly as well. Part of my conversation with basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse. Right now we have the U.S. Open bowling champion with us, a Vanderbilt Hall of Famer, assistant and coach here for the Commodores, Josie Barnes. What's going on?
Hi. Happy to be here tonight.
Absolutely. Now, I understand you and Kyle and the little one been out to the zoo today, right?
We did, yeah. It was our first time.
Hey, everything go okay?
It was pretty good until we tried to get off the carousel. And
yeah.
Then we threw a little fit, but
had a little meltdown
right.
There.
Yeah.
Well, what's the last week been like for you since winning the U.S. Open?
In some ways, just very normal because I'm back to the routine of being mom, but also still trying to convince myself that it happened. Because for people who don't follow professional bowling that closely, it is the biggest tournament that you can compete in and win. So it's something I've always dreamt about and worked towards, but it's hard to believe that it's something that I can actually say I've accomplished.
Yeah, I saw you win and saw the highlights and everything and saw you get the trophy. I was like, I just saw her in the office like 2 days ago. And then like, you know, 2 days later, you're back in there sitting at your desk and you got all the decorations and stuff up that the soccer folks treated you right,
didn't
they?
They were great. Yeah, yeah. It was funny because, you know, I flew back Wednesday night, I guess, and I was back in the office at 8:15 a.m. on Thursday, and I was kind of seeing what my girls had done to my office because they had decorated it real cute and everything. And then I hear the soccer coaches come up and they're like, shoot, she's already here. And I'm like, I'll just pretend like I'm not seeing anything.
Yeah, KK, don't worry about it. Any big plans for the prize money? Maybe I should ask him what the plans are.
He might have some, but no, you know, a lot of people have asked me about the prize money, and I can't say that there were really many thoughts about it going into it, because if you've read anything that I've spoken about, I had a really terrible season this season. And prior to this event, I probably would have said that it would be the worst professional season I've had so far. So for me going into it, I was just like, I need to feel like I'm respectable leaving this event.
Right.
So I had no ideas or thoughts or illusions that I was going to be dealing with that prize fund. So no, we have not really figured out what that looks like yet.
Now, you said it was, you know, your last hurrah before the college season begins. Did you maybe outperform though what you could have expected going into the tournament?
Oh, I 100% outperformed what I expected. I'm very confident in my abilities, and I know I can compete with the best, but for whatever reason, this season just wasn't working out for me. So it's not that I didn't believe I could do it. It's just things had not gone my way leading up to this. So, you know, I especially after that first day of this event, because it's a very, very long event, I bowled pretty terrible the first day too. So for me, it was just kind of chipping away at it and trying to give myself a chance at the next turn. And somehow I ended up putting myself in a pretty good position.
Once you get going, do those competitive juices still get flowing, though, when you get going, you're playing well, and you're starting to see, okay, I'm making progress here?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, I 100% do it for the competition. You know, the money and stuff is nice, but my husband and I talk about it all the time. I'm one of those people that I'm very lucky that I have this job at Vanderbilt, because I don't think I could be one of those athletes that has to make a shot to keep my lights on. I do it because I just really love to compete.
Sure.
And so once you start feeling it, you know, it's like, all right, I got this. I can do this. Like, we're in control.
What was the last match like? Go at 198, 194?
Yeah, it was really close. It was a roller coaster. I started out really good, had a rough middle, started to get better at the end. And then I actually finished the game first, which is unusual for me, because typically if I have a choice, I want ball in hand to decide the match. But when I talked to my ball reps, we decided that the one lane was a little better than the other, and I wanted to finish on that one, which just subsequently made me finish first, which in some ways was probably better considering the stakes. But my juices were really flowing during that 10th frame, and I did not perform as well as I would have liked to. So I had to sit on the bench and see, you know, how Sherry performed. And fortunately for me, it fell my way, but it was a roller coaster of emotions.
Had you played against her before? I assume you had.
Oh, yeah. So her and I have a a history that has panned out for me in recent years. So my last title before this one, I competed against her in the final, and she needed a couple of strikes to beat me, and she threw a fantastic shot on the first ball and got the most unfortunate break you can get in bowling. So I won that title, and then the night before the TV show, her and I matched up to see who would be the top seed, and things kind of fell my way in that match. And so my husband and I and my ball rep, we joke, and I'm like, man, I really like this girl. I don't think she likes me very much. Like, I wish outside of bowling we could be friends, because I think she's great. But we just continue to meet up, and it keeps falling my way. So I'm not sure she's a big fan of mine.
How much different is the setup for a major tournament versus your normal tour event in terms of like how the lanes are oiled or maybe the amount of games you have to win and all those sorts of things?
Yeah. So a standard tournament, we fly in on a Thursday and practice, and we bowl Friday, Saturday, and it's still a decent number of games. So it's 12 one day, potentially 12 the next, and then a step ladder. But it's all in one oil pattern. For the U.S. Open, it's about an 8-day tournament, I think. So we get in. The first day is nothing but practice, and we practice on 4 different patterns. So it's an hour and a half on each. I think I totaled by the end of this last week, I'd practiced over 14 hours. And then if you make it the entire way, I bowled 57 games.
Wow.
And so if you add up the amount of practice we did with the actual competition games, you're looking between 100 and 150 games in about a week. So my body still hurts.
I bet. That's a lot
still,
of games.
It's still recovering, yeah.
Visiting with Josie Barnes, she is the U.S. Open champion and Vanderbilt Hall of Famer and assistant bowling coach here for the Commodores. You've had a lot happen in your life personally over the last couple of years. Yeah. How have you been able to channel that into your career?
Yeah, I mean, it ebbs and flows, right? Mm-hmm. There are good days and there are bad days, obviously. You know, the day that I won the event was really emotional because it's a childhood dream that we've accomplished, but I also didn't really get to tell my mom about it. So, it's a daily struggle, but, you know, I've since had my daughter and, you know, I look forward to the day when she actually understands what mommy accomplished. Mm-hmm. So, we can watch it together and her tell me like, man, mom, that 10th frame wasn't very good, you know? and you know, so there are good days and bad days. And, you know, I think one of the better things that have come out of everything I've gone through in the last 2 years is just understanding how important mental health is, both personally and professionally and competitively, and just figuring out how to take care of myself and accepting that there will be really great days and there will also be some that aren't so great.
How do you put that knowledge to work for you when you're coaching players? And how much do you enjoy that, kind of using the knowledge that you've gained from being a champion at every level and now helping young players find their way in college bowling?
Yeah, I definitely think it's made me more understanding, you know, because and John will tell you this, from becoming a player to becoming a coach, I was very regimented, like, we do this and we do this and we do this. And understanding that people have different backgrounds and different things that they're going through. And some of them you never even know about, but you understand that, you know, people are dimensional and it's not all one thing. So I think that's been really helpful. And I really think that becoming a coach has helped me substantially just become a better competitor. And I said this a lot when I first took the job, because was practicing in Smyrna at that time. So I actually didn't get to practice as much as I would have liked to, or as much as I did in college. And so it really forced me to pay attention and watch more bowling than I was actually doing. And I think that really evolved my whole thought process around the game. And it also just made me more accepting. Like,
sure,
not everything has to be dead perfect. Like, you're still pretty good. So how do we make this work?
How much did you enjoy the SEC storied program, the Vandy Rolls?
So cool.
I watched that. I thought it was terrific. And how did that take you back to that time when you guys won it?
Yeah, and I think it was cool for a couple of reasons. So obviously it was cool to tell our story because I think people in the Vandy world know it. But, you know, trying to get it out to, you know, I guess more of the masses, and being able to relive that moment. Because even just watching it now, like, we have a little recruiting video we play for kids that come in, and it still, like, brings tears to my eyes just thinking, like, we accomplished something bigger than I think we ever could have dreamed of at that time, and definitely didn't understand. But it's been really cool in the bowling world too. Like, the number of places that I go that are like, "Oh, we watch that," and I'm like, "Really?"
You
like,
like, yeah, we get the
that's
SEC
really
network.
Cool. Yeah. So I think it did more than we expected, but you know, I'll always appreciate having that memory.
One thing, and talking to John Williamson, that I've come to appreciate about what you guys do is there's a lot more technology and thought that goes into coaching bowlers than maybe a lot of people think.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of science and physics that goes into it, and we have an invisible playing surface, right? So you will never master it. It's just, how can I be a little bit better than the day before? And so, you know, teaching kids how to accept that, especially here at Vanderbilt. I mean, we have really smart kids that want everything done exactly right. And you have to learn to accept that it's not going to be perfect, but we just have to be good.
Outlook good for this season?
I hope so. I think so. We've got a good group of kids. You know, I'm finally starting to see them because I was gone when they got back. But, you know, they're a great group of competitors, but I think they're even better kids, which makes it fun to work with.
And you'll be getting started a little later in October, right?
Yeah, October 1st is our official season start date. We're doing individual practices now. So, you know, learning some skill sets, figuring out some of the small things we need to improve on going into the season. But I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Well, Josie, congratulations. Awesome. It was so fun to watch. And great to see you back here. And maybe grab one of those candy bars off the poster outside outside your office. But all the best and good luck. And thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Josie Barnes, the U.S. Open champion and Vanderbilt Hall of Famer, and, of course, assistant coach John Williamson for the Vanderbilt bowling program. When we come back, we're going to have part of my visit with Vanderbilt men's basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse. That's coming up in just a moment. A little bit later on in the hour, Coach Clark Lee will be with us as well for our final half hour of our Commodore Hour program. This is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to Commodore Hour. Good to have you with us on a lovely Monday evening here in the Music City. Hope everybody's enjoying their Labor Day weekend. Kevin Ingram and Andrew Allegretta not with us tonight. Hopefully feeling a little better and be ready to go by the time Saturday gets here. We'll have football for you coming up 9 o'clock Saturday night, Vanderbilt at Colorado State for Game 2. We got the non-conference schedule for men's basketball last week. It's a good one. VUCommodores.com is where you can get all of that information. But I also had a chance to sit down with Coach Jerry Stackhouse. I want to give you a chance to hear part of my conversation. Here's Stack. Doing all right? Everything going okay?
I'm doing great, man. I'm so excited. The guys are excited. They had a really good summer, and now school's starting, and we're looking forward to keeping it rolling.
Well, as far as off-season work, what do you guys typically get done, you know, in that time period that you have to be on campus and be in the gym some?
Well, I think we try to more attention to their individual skill set, the shooting, ball handling, all those things in the summertime, and try to focus more of the team concepts in the fall. Uh-huh. You know, and like now that we're back, it's more about the team. We still do some things individually, because I think with a young team, you know, that player development is huge. You
sure.
know, I mean, we really upped our overall talent level. But that experience is not there, so we got to mm-hmm. continue to try to build there. But this summer has been, you know, guys in the gym working on a lot of just the fundamentals, the gathering, the stride stops, a lot of things that is hard to fine tune during the course of the season, but you can find more time for those in the off season.
Has it been a little more normal of an off season this time around than certainly last year, where it was just crazy?
It has been. I mean, it's looked a lot more normal for all of our guys. They got a good summer in. Guys been around work. We still had some guys that were, you know, dealing with it, some minor injuries, that they were still working their way back. So they missed some of the summer. We still probably had four or five guys that missed the summer. But the guys that were here, we had about 10 guys. I mean, they got a ton of work. You know, some of our walk-on guys that mm-hmm. maybe not get as many reps when everybody's sure. here, they were able to really help themselves and help the team this summer. So, we were pleased with how things ended this summer.
Big story of the offseason has been the return of Scottie Pippen Jr. What all went into his decision to come back and play another year?
Well, I think, you know, when we met at the end of the year, you know, we talked about him just, you know, testing the waters. He yeah. wanted to test the waters. He wanted to see what that process looked like. And if, you know, he would have went out there and, you know, somebody would have said, okay, we're going to draft you in the first round or maybe even the early second round, maybe he doesn't come back. But I think he, you know, it was more toward the end of the second round where he was probably projected to get drafted. And, you know, we talked about it, you know, like, man, let's come back and finish what we started.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think he's kind of the catalyst of my era, you know, since
sure.
I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, we handed him the ball right from day one and said, here, we want to help build what we're doing around you. And obviously, I think it would have been a setback for us to for him to have left. So we were ecstatic that he was back. I mean, we did everything that we could do to support him. We went out and saw him, you know, in L.A. when he was working out. Just spending time with him, just let him know how important he was for us. And I think he really appreciated that and,
sure.
and understood that he had some more work to do. I mean, we want to really help Scotty. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I want to make it our business to try to make him a first-round pick, you mm-hmm. know, but within the confines of what we're doing as a team. I mean, I still think he'll be a 20-point scorer for us.
Yeah.
But I just think it'll be an easier 20-point than what he has to do, what he had to do in the past with this group, just because I feel like we're more talented top to bottom, and he's going to have more help out there.
He did have to work hard to get those points. He got to the foul line a lot. Of course, a good shooter. Where else do you feel like he needs to make strides this coming season?
Well, I mean, I just think for him, I mean, he's one of those guys. He's a winner. He won at the high school level, one of the story programs with Sierra Canyon. And, you know, so for him, when things didn't go well, they just kind of feel like I'm going to put my head down and do it. And I think that's where he has to let the game come to him a little bit more. He could still improve his playmaking ability. I think he, you know, still can improve as a shooter. So, I mean, I think he knows that there's areas of his game that he can still work on and get better at. But, you know, it was enough this year to be all SEC player. So
yeah.
I think he should be in the talks for possibly player of the year and even some national awards. So
sure.
I think that just comes from him being here, buying into what we've been about and being about the team. And, you know, I mean, when I talked to him and he told me he was coming back, he's like, Coach, I'm coming to get win my position back. I was like, I didn't know you had lost it, but I appreciate that disposition
sure.
where that he was just, and he came right back and he set the tone for us. I mean, right from day one since he's been back on campus, he's been one of our hardest workers, which I expect nothing less. But it's just been good to see him come back with that approach, and I think our young guys feed off of that.
You got a few guys coming back who played significant minutes last year or would have, you know, in Tyron Lawrence's case. How do you feel like that group can kind of set the foundation for this team?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good nucleus there. I mean, with Scotty, Jordan Wright, who's improved every year. Quentin, Millar Brown, who's improved every year. And I think those guys just have a good sense of what's going on. And then you add in Trey and Miles, you know, those guys. I mean, Drew Weicker, those guys have been around and understand what we're looking for and what we're trying to accomplish as a group. So I just think that's we got older, you know, and I think that's what you talk about, you know, with our team. I talked about it when I first got here, trying to get a group that we get old with, and we've done that. Obviously, you know, a little bit of a setback with Dylan leaving, trying to fill that void, but we felt like we got some talented pieces in Taryn Frank and Jermaine to fill that. You know, once those guys get a good understanding of what we want to do, they bring a different type of dynamic that we haven't had. I mean, just from athleticism and size that can handle and pass and do a lot of different things. So we're excited about those guys as well, Jermaine, man.
I've liked the way Jordan Wright's improved the last couple seasons, you know, from the time he was here to where he is now. What have you liked about his game and where can he take another step?
I just think, again, like you said, he's improved in every aspect. He shot the ball really well numbers wise last year. I mean, I think he shot over 40% from three. We hopefully that continues. But I think him, having that big body and getting into the paint and being able to finish around the basket, I think he's become a better playmaker. He's always been a solid defender, but now he knows how to understand more about the team. Concept and what we want to get done defensively there. So I just feel like he's the sky's the limit for Jordan. I mean, I used to say he always had this disposition when he was younger. I was like, you're going to be the man. You're just not going to be the man right now. And I think he's right on the verge of being the man, one of the guys that we can really count on. And just from a citizen standpoint, it just doesn't get any better. Yeah. I mean, he just right at 4.0, here at Vanderbilt. Probably could graduate. You know what I'm saying? We might have to slow him down. You know, he's doing so well that he probably could graduate.
Maybe take only about 12 hours this semester.
Maybe eight. He's just a great kid. Great guy to be around. I mean, he's the, the gold standard of what I feel like a Vanderbilt, men's basketball players should be on and off the court. No, that's who he is.
Health and conditioning wise for Tyron, how close do you expect him to be?
Man, Tyron is he's coming on strong, man. I mean, he's almost approaching, right at 7 months right now. Yeah. He said that, 8 months is when they expected to be full recovery. I mean, he's moving really good out there in his individual workouts. He was just one of those guys that you knew just was going to get it and get better and better as the season went on. And unfortunately he had that injury. He's a huge part of our plans but again, it's just competition now. I mean, Shane DeZoni is another kid that's, still battling back from just some little minor ailments that, when he gets back, I mean, it's competition. I mean, I think in the past we've had felt like a noticeable gap between our first six and the next six.
Yeah.
And you just don't now. You got
more even.
Yeah, it's a little more even in that second six, and even a little bit beyond that. Mm-hmm. You got guys that are going to fight for minutes, and I think that's what you want. I mean, obviously we're all pulling in the same direction, but it's good to have those healthy competitions, within each position, really.
Vanderbilt head basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse. That's just part of my conversation with Stack, and you can find the whole thing on the Anchor podcast page. We did a special edition of our podcast that came out last week alongside the non-conference basketball schedule for men's basketball, and you can find that at vucommodores.com. Get all the details. There's a trip to Hawaii in there. There are trips to Pittsburgh and SMU along the way, and some really nice home games, including Loyola Chicago. I know Temple's coming here. More locally, we'll see Austin Peay in town. So it should be a lot of fun. Coach Jerry Stackhouse joining me on a special edition of the Anchor podcast. We come back in just a moment. Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee will be with us. Tough day for the Commodores in the opener against ETSU on Saturday. 23-3 was the final, but we'll talk about that with Coach Lee and look ahead to the matchup against Colorado State, which is coming up on Saturday night. Back with more in a moment. This is Commodore Hour. This is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. From Nashville, welcome back to this edition of Commodore Hour on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Great to have you with us, and we're joined now by head football coach Clark Lee. Doing okay this evening?
Doing great.
I guess now that you've had a chance to sort of digest Saturday, what was the most disappointing for you?
Well, the result. I mean, you know, obviously there's not a person in this building or in our community of university community and fan community that wasn't just gutted by the result, but you know, our job as a program is to take the learning and make it a growth moment and, you know, move forward and find ways to improve, which we can do. As disappointed as we are with the start, it was just that, you know, the start. And we have a long season ahead. So we have to quickly redirect ourselves and find another level of performance.
Was some of it a situation of just not really knowing what you have until you get out there and play somebody else?
You know, certainly we, you know, part of college football is game one is kind of the first exposure to competition against an opponent. It goes a little deeper than that for me. I think there's a need here to take preparation to performance. I see a team that is learning how to practice and prepare. And yet, on Saturday, I saw a team that, at the moment of adversity, really seemed to like choke back that high performance that we know we're capable of.
Sure.
And so, you know, part of my responsibility and my job is to really work with these guys to make sure in those moments of adversity that we're leaning on confidence. Confidence comes not from results, which is a common misconception. Confidence comes with intentional preparation. And as long as we're doing what we need to do Monday to Friday, you know, Saturday becomes the fun. And sometimes it's those moments where your back is against the wall that are the most fun. You find out about yourself. And we can do a better job of representing ourselves in the competitive arena. I think there's just a lot of deconstruction and relearning that needs to happen. And we really saw that up close on Saturday.
I guess we'll talk about the defense in a moment. As far as the offense, where did you feel like the quarterback struggle, whether it was Ken or Mike, and trying to find that rhythm and consistency you're looking for?
Well, they take part of the ownership in rhythm, certainly with making reads and delivering the ball where it needs to go. I thought early in the first drive I actually saw some of that rhythm, but there was one bad decision on a bubble throw where we didn't have numbers on the perimeter that, you know, the ball should have been handed off. We had the run game going. We never got a puncture run, but, you know, there were some good plays. We were efficient on first down. I mean, there was a lot of positives there. We have to find the explosive play, and we got to finish drives with touchdowns. From the quarterback standpoint, making the decision, making the read, and committing to do it, and not, you know, based off how they feel in the moment, but based off what they're taught to do in the in the classroom. You know, late in the game, there was a little bit of pressing that went on. And, you know, what East Tennessee State did is they played coverages where we had throws. We had singled up one-on-ones on some of our best, most explosive players, and we got to get the ball in position where our guys have a chance to make a play on it. And we weren't able to do that. You know, it's just, again, it's growth moments. These aren't judgments. They're not indictments. They're things that we recover from. Certainly we have to perform better on Saturdays to change the result. And that position takes ownership of that in as well as the other 10 spots on the field.
You mentioned the receivers. There were some bright spots. Will Shepard, 9 catches for 84. Chris Pierce, 4 for 53. Cam Johnson, 4 catches for 31. Is a lot of the offensive success going to be about just getting the ball in their hands and letting them go to work? Because you talk about guys being playmakers, and those are some of them on this offense.
That's a part of it. You know, when we talk about, you know, base down or early down efficiency, and again, speaking specifically about how you convert on first and second down to avoid third down, third down being the down and distance where most of your mistakes are made. So, you know, you maybe force a throw into coverage on third down because you're trying to make a big play.
Sure.
Or you give the opponent a chance to dial up a blitz that's hard. You know, they outnumber your protection kind of stuff. So first and second down, if you can find ways to convert on first and second down, you avoid the third down, which is the pressure down. Or first and second down efficiency lead to a third and one, which in our mind should be 100% conversion because we're gonna be able to own the line of scrimmage. We had the early down efficiency on Saturday, and part of that was keeping the ball in play to the receivers. You know, when we have space on the perimeter, we get it to them, and we hopefully eventually we'll start breaking tackles out there and creating explosives. That would be my criticism of the way the game played out for us. You know, we have to create explosive plays on offense, so we can do that through the receiver position. You know, we can do that through the running back position, but you know, the chance we had Will Shepard on a post one-on-one, we had a double move dialed up where we didn't protect off the edge and Mike Wright gets sacked. You know, on the next play, he's dealing with a banged up shoulder and he's got to make a throw on a corner route. It's just, we have to, all 11 players on the field, take ownership over the details so that we can find success, because we're designed for success, but we have to execute.
Ray Davis found some success running the ball, 14 carries for 56. He caught a pass. He's a really interesting story, isn't he? And you got to admire that guy for always been through.
Yeah, he's got a chance to be, you know, kind of the heartbeat of the offense. I was really impressed with how tough he ran. He found yards when they weren't there. You know, and a large part, you know, that, again, first down efficiency is him churning out, you know, 4 yards where he's running into just a wad of bodies in there. And I know for him, there's a couple of chances there where he's on a second level, a third level defender one-on-one where we know he can make the cut to make a miss to get to the end zone. And he'll do that. But we're fortunate to have Ray, and I was pleased with his start on Saturday. There's more for him, but he's certainly a guy that we think we can lean on as a playmaker.
One more about the offense. What about the O-line? How do you feel like they performed?
You know, we had some wins. We covered some guys up. We at times, like one at the point of attack physically. You know, what I want to see is better protection of the quarterback. I mean, not just in the free hitter, which is inexcusable, but there were too often where, you know, a late twisting line, a defensive lineman disrupts the normal throwing motion of the quarterback. And that, you know, we're better than that. We're more skilled than that. And that's an area that we need to, you know, spend time on in practice and make sure that we're detailed and able to get to our technique faster than the opponent up front. But, you know, it's a work in progress, and I think that there were some positives to take from Saturday, too. Consistency in play, and like I said, some of the details and execution there will go a long way, not just in building confidence up front, but also building confidence in our quarterback to give them time to see the reads down the field.
Visiting with Coach Clark Lee as we continue with Commodore Hour. Back with more in just a moment. This is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to Commodore Hour. Great to have you with us. Vanderbilt at Colorado State coming up on Saturday night. 9 o'clock kickoff, pregame at 7:30 here on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Joined by Coach Clark Lee, and we talked about the offense in the first segment. A thought or two on the defense. Guys I noticed, Ethan Barr, Anthony Orji, Nate Clifton, Jalen Mahoney. Who all stood out to you?
Well, I think, you know, it really, to me, it was more about a unit performance. Like, I felt like we had a solid effort on that side of the ball, and you know, but not a dominant effort. You know, I think in review of the game, there's just more for us to do. We have a couple of interception opportunities that, you know, if we capitalize on them, you know, we have a chance to change momentum in the game. Those are huge moments, especially as we were struggling to get our offense in rhythm, to give them some field position. And there's little nuances we got to clean up, but on the whole, I thought they played with effort, and you know, outside of the one touchdown, they held the opponent to field goals, and you know, there's something to build on from that.
Where can this group improve in stopping the run? That was one area, East Tennessee State. I think going in, we talked about that they had a good run game and they found some success there.
Well, part of it, you do have to tip your cap to East Tennessee State. I think they ran the ball hard. I thought they played physically up front. And I would challenge our side to, you know, to take the fight to the opponent. And we've talked about that in review of the game. The run game can bleed a little bit on you. So there were some structural breakdowns where, you know, you had breakout runs.
Yeah.
And we weren't able to down the ball at the safety position. And so we absorbed yards that way. But there's also on the edges, you know, we had difficulty forcing the ball at times and downing it on the sideline. And that's detail and fit structure. So if I'm a force player, get outside, send it back into my help, I can't get hung up on the block and allow the ball to kind of spray out on the sideline. And then once it gets to the corner, they have to be, you know, the widest defender and knock it down. And, you know, some of those are game one issues, but some of those are things we got to focus on in preparation.
This traditionally has been a program that's done a good job with penalties. Was that something you're especially disappointed with, including one that took a touchdown off the board?
Yeah, we talked going into the game about pre-snap penalties, in particular the ones that are focus related. I think we had two times where we jumped off sides in the offensive line. You know, those are huge momentum killers. You know, we had an offsides on a blitzer who was lined up over the center. You know, that's inexcusable. And you know, some of them, though, you know, Gabe Judy had a pass interference on the sideline that, you know, I felt like he, those are effort things. I mean, you can't be perfect in that respect. Some of those are competitive. So, the ones that are focus related are ones that we have to dial into, and we can't self-sabotage drives on offense or defense.
How can you continue to improve it as far as getting pressure on the quarterback?
Some of it design, some of it in just winning the one-on-ones. You know, we feel like we have skilled pass rushers, and we've seen that through our fall camp. But in the moment, you know, we have to win the one-on-one and get the pressure. You know, East Tennessee State did a nice job in their design and getting the ball out of the quarterback's hand or moving the pocket and keeping them clean. But, you know, we can design some things that create a little more pressure. And then, you know, we have to challenge our guys to win the one-on-ones when we have them.
Coach Clark Lee is our guest. I guess on the plus side for you, how special was it to see fans in the stands and out for the Star Walk and all those things on Saturday? I thought it was a cool scene before the game.
It was incredible. I mean, it was so much fun and it was exciting. And I want people to keep coming back because – you know, what we're building is going to be special here. And we're on the front end of that. We have a team that, you know, that plays with effort, but is learning a lot about competitive performance. And that's where our attention's being put right now. And I just ask people to keep coming out, keep supporting these guys. It was so much fun to share that experience, and we will be better on the field. And, again, we're in the infancy of this program. And part of that is, again, the learning. But as we move forward, we're so excited about what's possible this season.
What was it like for you stepping out there, first time hometown alma mater's head coach?
It was magical for me. You know, I wanted the ending to be written differently, but yet I know that it was perfectly engineered for us. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, things happen the way they happen, and we're to take the learning from them and grow. And you know, we're not afraid of that. And we were, again, frustrated with the result. But I think every single person in this program was excited about the energy that was game day and seeing fans back and sharing that experience with them. And you know, we're gonna continue to build this thing the right way and look forward to celebrating wins in that stadium with our fans.
Is there a little bit of a sense of now, okay, we know what we're working with here and how far we have to go after playing a game?
We have a little better indicator of where we are at our starting point, but. You know, as a coach, you sit with your staff and then with the team and you look at all the things that we can do, the small things we can do to improve performance. So there's a mental element to that, you know, where, you know, we have to make choices in the moment and have a deep belief in the fact that we're going to influence the outcome that we want, you know, and that's something we're working on. But there's also an execution element to that, and it's small things like how we run a slant or, you know, how we settle in a zone. So you look at those things and you think there's so much room for improvement in that first performance. You know, how do we, with urgency this week, apply attention to those areas so that we can be better against Colorado State?
Now to Colorado State, play out there this week, first time on the road. They're coming off a tough loss to open up their season as well. Not sure how much you've watched, but first impressions of that group.
Well, I know Coach Adazio's system very well. I saw him for many years in the ACC at Boston College, and he coaches a tough program, and particularly they're tough up front on both sides of the ball. They've got a really good tight end. They've got a big running back that does not go down easily, and a very skilled receiver. There's weapons there, and you have two teams that are coming off tough results and both getting up and ready for the next swing. So it'll be a challenge, but we're excited for it. And, you know, our preparation this week will hopefully unlock a plan that we can go out and have success. But we're definitely excited. Know that that's going to be a challenge out of us.
One thing I remember from going to Colorado a couple times, the altitude can be a factor. I went for a run and felt like my lungs are on fire. Is there anything you can do to prepare for that, really? I mean, as you get ready for the game?
There are subtle things, and there are things that we can have available to us on game day. And you know, we've researched those in anticipation of this trip. But I think there's also, because these trips are so short, you know, there's also an element of it where it's maybe dialing back some of our warm-up, dialing back some of our activity on game day, knowing that we'll be conditioned for, you know, the 4 hours of the game and shouldn't have an issue.
How neat was it during the warm-ups to have the silence when you guys were going through that part of the preparation on Saturday? I thought that was a neat touch.
That's special to our team. You know, they wanted that. That sound off has defined us since January. It was kind of the first thing we came upon, and it was just a part of building focus and detail into the warm up. And yeah, I think you know, eventually that becomes something that we can share with the fans, and would be fun and exciting as part of the game day experience. But I know the players were happy to have that opportunity, and ultimately we'll look to share that with our fans.
How great has it been just to see football back and you know, watch some of these games? I you know you probably don't have too much time to check it all out, but just kind of see all of it going on and maybe feeling a little bit more normal.
It's special, and I don't get to take in as many games, I just get excited for the time of year. I think it's college football is just a celebration in our country, and it's fun for everybody, and to have fans back on game day and to feel the energy, and it's very special. So we'll be excited to take this show on the road and experience that for the first time as a program too.
I guess finally, how do you win the response as you describe it this week?
Well, it's taking the learning. So we take the learning. You know, we have to be honest in our assessment, and then apply the lessons. We win the response today by showing up and confronting the film. I also think there's no room for self-pity at Vanderbilt football. Yeah. I mean, that's an important part of this too. We go at something really hard and fall short, and we learn from it. And yet, the important thing is that we're taking the next step. And so, all of this is a process, but certainly as we go into the week, it's applying the lessons in our preparation to make sure that we are one game better against Colorado State. And that we're never entitled to an outcome. And so, you know, to get the results we want, we have to go earn it on Saturday. And Colorado State's going to make that really hard on us. But we learned a lot this weekend, and unfortunately we learned a lot through a negative result, but I also feel like that can be the ultimate teaching moment. That could be the jump start to something really special here. And so we're gonna move on and up, and we're gonna learn, and we're gonna again look to take the fight to the opponent on Saturday.
Coach Clark Lee, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Hey, great to be with you. Thank you.
All right. Back with more. We'll finish up Commodore Hour in just a moment. The Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Welcome back to Commodore Hour. We're about to wrap things up from Nashville. Great to have you with us. Appreciate our producer, Gus Wettekamp, taking great care of us this evening. Max Herz as well. I'm Kevin Ingram. Hope our buddy Andrew Allegretta is feeling better, and we'll be ready to roll on Saturday night. Football against Colorado State, 9 o'clock Central Time. You have to stay up late to see the Commodores and hear the Commodores in action on Saturday out in Colorado. Our pregame will be with you at 7:30. Our keys to the game each week brought to you by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield, serving Middle Tennessee for over 60 years. The keys, well, we talked about a lot of those with Coach Clark Lee in our last couple segments, but more efficient on offense, quarterbacks, you know, get into a better rhythm and that sort of thing, clean up some penalties. We saw those on Saturday and really improved run defense. So a few things to watch for on Saturday. We will, of course, talk plenty more about these as we get closer to game time coming up this weekend. But always appreciate our friends at Gupton. They've been with us for a long time. A couple other things going on campus. Women's soccer team, tough one yesterday against number 23 Pepperdine. They were a good team. Lost 4-1 on Sunday. Ella Schamberger with a penalty kick goal in the second half for Vanderbilt. Darren Ambrose's team will play at Lipscomb on Thursday, and then home for Middle Tennessee in the final non-conference match, and that will be Sunday night. And then it will be on to SEC play, starting with Florida, the always difficult SEC schedule in soccer. Men's golf did well out of Pebble Beach this weekend, finished fifth at the Carmel Cup. Harrison Ott, 5 birdies on Sunday, finished 3 under par, and 10th overall. Michael Shears, Gordon Sargent, both finished in the top 10. Oklahoma State won the team title. They beat out their old rival, Oklahoma. Next tournament is the Scenic City Collegiate. That will be September 20th at the Honors Course over in Ottawa near Chattanooga. So congrats to men's golf for a great finish at Pebble Beach. That's not a bad place to start off your season, huh? So they will hopefully continue to keep on rolling. They had a great season last year. Thanks to all of our guests tonight. Josie Barnes joined us after winning the U.S. Open in bowling at the Vanderbilt Hall of Famer and assistant coach with John Williamson. Also, we heard some of our conversation with Coach Jerry Stackhouse. You can hear that whole thing if you go to our Anchor podcast page. You can download it using Apple or Spotify. We will be back with you next Monday night and throughout the season at 6 o'clock. Thanks, of course, to Coach Clark Lee joining us and talking about a tough one against East Tennessee State, but hopefully good things ahead with a game coming up at Colorado State on Saturday. Great to be with you. I'm Kevin Ingram. This is Commodore Hour, and this is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.